Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Welcome to the episode. We are incredibly excited today. We're joined by some old friends of ours and coworkers on the field, Gray and Brandy. Originally, they met overseas a long time ago, and since then, been married for 18 years now, overseas for 12 of those. Five kids in three different countries, and now continuing to work for a really awesome missions organization that will remain unnamed right now. And so Gray does a support role. He oversees that organization's management of property, homes, visas, logistics for three big regions of the world. Brandy also heavily involved in ministry. She leads a fitness ministry for coworkers and also helping out with those responsibilities for the organization as well, all while homeschooling those five awesome kiddos. Guys, we're just really glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, we're really excited. Jesse and Shaney, like you said, longtime friends. We go back, you know, even 18, 19 years now.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. But, but yeah, we're just excited to get to hang out with you guys today, share a little bit.
Yeah, we actually have lived in the same city with Gray and Brandy twice overseas. So we have had a lot of life on life and teaming together. The reason that we specifically asked Gray and Brandy to share on marriage is because we've seen firsthand the friendship and the strong marriage, the intimacy that they share, the way they work together. Anyone who knows Gray and Brandy sees that. Yep. So our goal in this interview, Gray and Brandy, is to platform you. We want you to be able to share how over the years you've continued to work specifically on friendship and intimacy in your marriage. I think we can just start with that. You already have a good marriage. I know that you also, like us, are continuing to work on it. So what keeps you growing?
Yeah, for us, just thinking about growth, and one of the things that really is important to us is just never being satisfied with where we are in our marriage. And we just always want to grow. So, you know, just that idea of plateauing, of just like things getting flat. I mean, I think it's the same thing with our walk with the Lord, is that we should always be abiding. We should always be growing. It should be continual growth. And so that's true for our marriage. So one of the things that we've done, and it wasn't any kind of like necessary, we just thought, hey, this is a great idea, but it's just something that we've always done and built in, is just constantly evaluating our marriage and kind of doing that marriage care. Just knowing that marriage takes work. It has that desire that you just want to stay strong. So we've done a lot of different assessments over the years, and we really use those for growth. One of the things that we've done while we were overseas in South Asia a lot, about once a year, we would just pull away for 2 to 3 days when we could find people to watch our kids. Sometimes my parents would come visit. And so we would do it, this do-it-yourself marriage retreat. So we'd spend several days going through, there was a whole litany of questions that we had, and it covered all kinds of topics, like about your kids, about your marriage, about intimacy, how you spend money, how you do your hobbies. So we just really would spend several days every year just asking each other those questions and evaluating, like, where are we? How are we doing? What's positive? We would set goals for the next year. We just did an assessment about 2 years ago called Prepare Enrich, that really brought up some things that were like highlights of, hey, we need to keep working on this. I heard you guys in one of your podcasts talk about the Enneagram, but you guys were threes. We recently went through that. Brandy's a three, I'm a nine. And so those are pretty like different on the spectrum. So we kind of learned about those things and how our differences can actually help each other. And so one of the quotes here that from Paul David Tripp's book on marriage is, he said, and one of the commitments that he highlights in that book is, we will make growth and change our daily agenda. But for us, just that's been a constant, you know, never being satisfied, always putting in the work, and always just having that desire to grow. And that keeps us, you know, bound together and working on our marriage.
Yeah. That's a good parallel, I think, that you drew out, just between our own spiritual growth, right, and then our growth together as a couple. Is that, you know, the old saying, like, you're never just in one place. You're never just kind of in stasis. You're either moving forward or moving backwards. And for intimacy and marriage, I think you're either growing together or you're drifting apart, right? I think in the natural, if we just let it go without intentionality, the natural is towards drift. And so that's that intentionality, even daily. and putting in those retreats, stuff like that, just looking for resources, looking for input. That's just such a huge part of that.
I think the picture that the Bible gives us of one flesh means every couple has more work to do. Mm-hmm. It's such a big goal, right? One flesh. Mm. So there's no shame in seeing lots of room for growth in your marriage, because what a beautiful design God has given us. These two very different personalities, backgrounds, but yet God's desire is one flesh. So let's spend some time talking about intimacy in particular, as you're kind of going there, Gray. How have you guys grown in intimacy over the years? And also, what are the barriers that you see to intimacy in marriage?
One of the things Gray mentioned that we did, that prepare and enrich assessment recently, this is really the biggest thing we've been doing to grow in intimacy. I have been going through graduate school for counseling. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they told, like so much in the beginning, you need to be in counseling. You need to be in your counseling. And it's not like so that you can learn theories and different things, but so you can be healthy yourself before you try to help others be healthy. And I talked with Gray. I was like, well, I think if I ever wanted to do counseling, I would want us to do marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. And we knew this was an area that we should grow. Mm. And we struggled. And it was almost just like we were a little bit stuck. And we even said to each other, like, we have a great marriage. And this is good. If nothing ever changes, we're okay.
Yeah.
But kind of like you're, what we've been talking about is like, if you don't get better, you might be drifting. But we wanted to be intentional about it. And mm-hmm. we wanted to get better, even though we're like, things are good. Specifically for intimacy, when we came to America, we knew we were going to have a time to be here for about a year. Yeah. And so we sought out some counselors with our organization. And we said, this is what we need. This mm-hmm. is what we want. We love counseling. Mm-hmm. And so we did the prepare and enrich assessment. And it's a pretty cool assessment for marriage, because it kind of looks at some very big categories, and it tells you where you're strong and it tells you where you're weak, and it kind of gauges even specific. So it's a great springboard to then take into counseling. We started off the podcast talking about friendship and intimacy. Our strongest suit is friendship. Our weakest is intimacy. Wow. And so that is one of the biggest things that we have been doing to work towards being more intimate with each other.
For me, another part of the growth in intimacy was defining intimacy, because when I hear intimacy, I automatically think of like physical intimacy. I think like one flesh. I think about, you know, that whole physical side. But one of the areas that I've grown in a lot is realizing that intimacy is not just about the physical. It's emotional, it's relational, and it's spiritual, and it's physical. And in many ways, the physical intimacy is kind of an overflow. If you're not receiving the other three, then the physical one is just ends up not looking like the gospel wants it to. It ends up looking like the world wants it to.
Yeah.
And so just in growth and intimacy, I think it's been learning what is intimacy and not forgetting that you need to connect emotionally. You need to like be sharing your feelings with one another. You need to be understanding the person. In relational, it's like you need to be friends. You need to enjoy spending time together. Spiritual, you need to pray together. You need to talk to each other about what you're learning. You need to do spiritual, you know, go to church together and talk about what you're learning together. So all of these things build towards what intimacy is. So that's one of the major growth areas for us. And barriers, I think I mentioned it just a second ago, but it's that sharing the feelings area. Like that is a huge, you know, we talk about like being, to be fully loved, you have to be fully known.
Yeah.
And so true intimacy is that idea of being fully known by someone in your like most vulnerable, intimate place, you know, no pun intended there. But so just that, how do you get fully known? The only way you can do that is by sharing your feelings. And, you know, I told you I'm an Enneagram 9, which is a peacemaker, which likes to absorb all of the feelings of people around you, but not really to like process what your own feelings are on that, but to keep harmony. So I've really had to, you know, grow in that area of learning how to share my feelings and learning that sharing feelings doesn't mean that it's going to be conflict, because I really don't like conflict, but that's how I tend to feel, is that, okay, if I share this, they may get, you know, she may get defensive or get pushback, and
right.
that's going to make me feel like we're pulling apart. But really, it's not. It's us going closer
yeah.
because now she actually is knowing who I am.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good clarification, I feel like, just because, again, we would have said, hey, everybody who knows Gray and Brandy can see they have a strong friendship. And it would seem like, just on the surface, that friendship and intimacy, that those two would really go together well. But I think that clarification you made about opening up about feelings, kind of what's in your heart, that that's that part of intimacy that maybe won't be there if you're just good friends, right? You could just be good friends, enjoy being with each other, but taking that extra step of kind of opening up what's on the inside. So as you work towards greater intimacy in marriage, how has kind of issues that you found in your heart, personality issues, maybe things from the past that you've been working through, how have those things kind of interacted with your pursuit of intimacy? So uncovering for us, like as we've gone through counseling, uncovered old and healthy ways of thinking and habits, maybe even things that go back to our childhoods that have history and roots there. So how has that impacted you guys' walk?
Oh, yeah. It's things you think you work through and process through, and then mm-hmm. you keep digging and you're like, whoa. I think one of the biggest things, and this also speaks about my barrier, is I think I had a lot of wrong thinking. Mm. And even though even by the time we were married, I had been walking with the Lord for a while, and I felt that I didn't. But I think one of the things we might not realize, even when we're learning scripture and we're learning what God believes about things, is how there's so many different, I would even say like wounds, or I would even say specifically for me here, kind of like my worldview of intimacy, marriage,
yeah.
that comes from my upbringing. I didn't realize how that was such a foundation
yeah.
that needed to be undone, how even that kind of played into my personality and people pleasing and different things, and how that kind of got woven into intimacy. I will just share, because this is one of my biggest barriers that I've realized recently. I had just a lot of wrong thinking.
Yeah,
I knew it was wrong. And so because it's wrong, I didn't want to tell Gray, and I didn't want to talk about it, because I'm like, this is wrong. So I just need to believe what is right, and I need to get over this. But I couldn't, you know, and I was keeping it in my head because I know it's wrong. And we do this in all areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one, even like what Gray was talking about with intimacy, is being fully known, fully loved. I have a shirt that says that, and that's part of how I realized it, because I even started thinking, well, Gray is Gray. He's my husband. He is great. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am most intimate with him on this earth, but yeah. it's also, he's not God. And so I even was like, I will just keep this between me and the Lord, mm-hmm. and I will not share it with him.
Yeah.
And then finally, through counseling and even just getting to like, we're stuck and none of this is working, so we have to do different things. And one of the different things is, okay, I'm going to tell you all these things that yeah. I am like, what is he going to think? This yeah. is going to devastate him. And I had no idea, because I am very, very confident and very secure in our relationship. But mm-hmm. I realized how I was still like, what will he think? This
right.
is going to devastate him, or this is wrong. So yeah. I can't dare tell him. But that was keeping me from being known. And that was keeping mm-hmm. us from intimacy, because there's all this whole part of me in this struggle that I'm going through, and I'm not telling him.
Yeah.
And so I finally started telling him, and he was like, that's okay. I'm so sorry. Like all the different things. I mean, yeah. not to share all the details, but he loved me through it, and we processing through it, mm-hmm. you know, and it just fostered more intimacy. And that is so what the enemy often does. We think this is the thing that would break our intimacy.
Yeah, that's right.
But actually, when you share it, it's the thing that grows it.
That's good.
So. On my side, mine's a little different. Like just thinking about that individual, what's the Lord teaching, and what is like, how's the Holy Spirit revealing things? And, you know, recently even, you know, I've been reflecting a lot on just things that I thought were true about intimacy, especially about sex. And it came from a time we'd been married, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And there was a teachings that were going on in the Christian church, and it just elevated in our culture, in our, what was a sexually charged culture that we live in. it was elevating the physical side of intimacy, the sex side of a marriage, and just really, in my mind, created some really unhealthy patterns. Mm. And so it's really taken me to step back in the Holy Spirit to reveal those, to show that acting on things when it's not the gospel and it's not that full intimacy of emotional, physical, spiritual, relational, but when you elevate one of those over the others, that just creates trauma, has ongoing effects. And so it's just been the Holy Spirit helping to unpack that, mentally work through the hurts that's come through some of those teachings and some of those beliefs. It's been really good to see how talking about that and talking about the effects of just those kind of beliefs that we've walked through just bring us closer together and make us draw closer together to say, no, we need to just relook at what is intimacy as the Lord wants it to be for us, and what's the biblical view of marriage, physical intimacy, sex, relational, spiritual, all of those, they all go together.
Yeah.
I feel like this is making a big point that like maintaining a good marriage is kind of easy, but when you really try to start deepening your intimacy, it gets hard.
Yeah.
It really does. And Brandy and I were messaging back and forth a little bit in the last few weeks, sharing some book recommendations on marriage. And Brandy, in one message, you just said, like, Gray and I are growing specifically in intimacy and it is hard. And it was such an encouragement to me because we were feeling the exact same thing. And there are moments when I think to myself, I'm 41 years old. Like, why am I still struggling with some of these same issues? Kind of like you, Brandy, like, I know it's wrong thinking. So why can't I just change it? But I think we've been seeing Satan wants to convince you to keep it to yourself and keep it in isolation. And then you get discouraged. And I think of the verse in Jeremiah about like, can a leopard change his spots? No. So then like you who are evil can't change yourselves. And so being in that position, Gray, to ask the Holy Spirit, the wonderful counselor, to change us in ways that we're like, I've been trying to change myself for some decades now, and I'm still struggling with these same issues, but putting ourselves in a position to receive his help and receive each other's help.
Yeah.
That's hard, to be the receiver of comfort and help and encouragement.
Just to open yourself up to it.
To open up. Yeah. It's vulnerable. And I'm really thankful just for us to be able to talk about it openly, because that also gives other people permission to work on it and for it to be hard. And that not to mean your marriage is failing. It means you're actually doing really good work.
And I'll add here that this vulnerability and opening up thrives in a community or in a relationship that's bound by forgiveness and grace.
Yeah.
If you don't have that and you're coming vulnerable to someone and then it is met with judgment, without that forgiveness and grace being part of who we are.
Yeah.
And that's just as a disciple of Christ, we just have to live that. And so when we're vulnerable with each other and we're received with forgiveness and grace, that makes the seed and the growth just kind of explode. So
yeah.
Two things that I would love to add. So one thing is about counseling. So we didn't get that far into our counseling because we were seeing person in person, but we had enough sessions. And then kind of when COVID hit, we went to online and different things, but then we stopped. And we would both say we kind of stopped prematurely. Mm. But the reason I want to make that point is because I would love for everyone to know it doesn't have to be that many sessions. And one of the greatest gifts that counseling gave us is we do a lot of communicating and talking to each other, and we have, and we want to work through things. But when we sat down with a counselor and I could hear Gray sharing with that counselor, like my heart heard him way more than usually when he was sharing with me. Because when he was only sharing with me, a lot of times I would get defensive. Now, other people might shut down. You know, sometimes you get big, sometimes you get small. But we learned, same for him, when he heard me. And it's like, I've never heard you say that or feel, I didn't know you feel that way. Meanwhile, he's like, I've been saying that forever. And I'm like, I've been saying that forever. But often you don't hear each other when you're going back and forth because you're so like feeling, this is what I'm feeling. And I need to say this too. And don't think we're fighting, but it's just in communication. But when you have, when we had that third person, and I could just kind of be an onlooker, it was like, whoa. And kind of the same for him. And that was a huge springboard. Just a few sessions. I mean, we did sessions and we did work, but it changed how we then did our one-on-one work and how we listened to each other better. And it was like, no defenses. And even if it, so anyway, I want to make that point. And then the other point, a little bit of what you were saying, Shani, just in even like how we're thinking and what we're doing. And I think your question, Jesse, when you said like how it relates to, you start finding more about your own personal self and what you bring in and different things. And so one other thing that we haven't said, because I feel like this is individual work that's for, it, you can apply this in so many different situations, and I've done it in other situations, but for our marriage and for intimacy, because as I shared, I had a lot of wrong thinking and how we think affects everything. And so you can renew your mind and renew your thinking. You know, Shani, when you were talking about how I was like, this is wrong thinking and I know it's wrong and I should just believe this. It's not that simple. Because a lot of time that wrong thinking was like literally wired into our brains. If it was your upbringing, what you saw with your parents, if it was trauma, wherever it comes from, it's in your brain. But the good news is you, God calls us to renew our mind and to think rightly. And I wouldn't just say, oh, to think whatever you want to think, but to think in accordance to his word and scripture. And so that's another resource. I love Caroline Leaf's, it's a neurocycle. And then my favorite book is an older book of hers. She has a new book called Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess, but her old book, I like it better because it's filled with scripture, but it actually walks you through how to undo the wrong thinking and then put the new thinking in.
That's really good. And the wonderful counselor helps us through all of that. So we have both the power of the Holy Spirit and we have some awesome resources that can teach us. I really like what you're sharing about how your counseling has helped you to go deeper in intimacy. There's probably some listeners who just are like, yeah, we're not going to be doing counseling right now. So just from what you've learned, are there some things that you would encourage them in of, okay, here's what you can do. How do you go from like recognizing we have some growth to do in intimacy. What are some small steps that people can do?
It's a great question. I mean, we when we lived overseas, Brandy said, I think it was that point at our 10-year anniversary or something, we were sitting, it was at some point we were sitting there by the pool and we were talking about our marriage and we're like, we know that this is an area and if we never grow in this area, like our marriage is great, but I mean, we never went to counseling because it was not a near culture environment where we really felt like we could go to in-person counseling. Yeah. And so it wasn't until just in the last 2 years that we've been able to be in the USA and have some of that same culture connections with people to do counseling. But then again, that doesn't mean the growth doesn't happen. There's plenty of books and resources. Even when we went through the Prepare Enrich assessment, every page on that says like, hey, here's a weak spot. Here are some questions that you can sit down and ask each other. Yeah. I even think even for us, even though it wasn't counseling with a counselor, the do-it-yourself marriage retreat, that's just like 3 or 4 pages of nothing but questions that, I mean, we literally would spend several hours in the morning talking. We'd go to lunch. We'd go sit by the pool and ask more questions while we were sitting there. It was just constant asking questions. So even there's not a third party sitting there that's like being the one that you're talking to, those questions can be the mediator between that gives that, you know, ability to just process through things. So I would say there's plenty of books, resources, podcasts that you can listen to.
If you're not able to do counseling, one of the biggest things is just even when you're talking one-on-one, and probably this is what we learned from our counseling experience that we can continue to do now, is to not get defensive and to always ask yourself why get curious. Why do you feel this way? Because usually if you have big emotions or you're charged about something, it's not what the other person said. It's something you have within yourself, you know, and to be like, where's that coming from? So different things that just go with communication and to be a good listener. That is so hard in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are often wanting to explain ourselves.
Yeah.
So we're not hearing the other person.
Yeah.
That was a huge barrier to our communication that I feel like one of the biggest gifts we came away from in counseling. So if you can try to do that one-on-one.
One of the things about counseling is you set an appointment with someone and you go there and you talk about issues. So I know one of the advice we got when we first got married that was like, hey, whenever you have a problem in your first couple years of marriage, you just need to fight it out. And they weren't talking about like fight dirty and get mad at each other, but they were just basically saying in your first couple years of marriage, if you see something off or odd or you get your feelings hurt, like bring it up and talk about it, get it out there. So, because if you don't and you just push it down and you push it down, it's going to come up at some point. So it's better to talk about it early. And so I think one of the things I took out of counseling as well was, like Brandy said, those emotions that I have is I would always judge them and I would say, well, this isn't right how I feel, but it's not right. And so I would push it down and not want to talk about it. But it wasn't, emotions aren't right or wrong necessarily. They're just, like Brandy said, they're pointing to something else that's underneath. So you have to be able to have that environment of being able to say, this is how I feel, and then to get it out there. And then to be through that grace and forgiveness and just that listening to then process through it.
Yeah, that's great.
I agree with all of that. I feel like so much of that is similar to kind of what we're trying to do. Yeah. Having that curiosity, why am I not sharing this? Why do I filter this from Jesse?
Yeah.
I think that does reveal a lot.
I think one of the most apt metaphors, and here's again, I think where there's a good parallel between our own spiritual growth and our growth together in intimacy, is just the idea of like walking in the light. That if there's these negative thoughts that you know are negative, you know are wrong, you actually address them and I think kind of undercut their power by bringing them out into the light and talking about them, right?
Yeah.
And when you keep them inside, that's when they continue to have power. But when you bring them out, that's when you basically cut the power. I think one of the takeaways from counseling, this is a little bit in the same vein, but if you bring something out into the light in front of someone else, right? When you have that other perspective, when you're walking in the light, not just with each other, but the idea, even I felt like there's been accountability and power in letting other people know that we're doing counseling, right? Mm-hmm. And so even if you weren't doing counseling, if you just let other people know, maybe your accountability partners that you have personally or people in your small group, you're like, hey, we're working on our marriage and you're putting that out in the light. Mm-hmm. I feel like that also is just a good spur and an encouragement for us. We all know, right? I mean, it just takes some accountability every once in a while to make significant change. And so putting that out beyond just your relationship, not like sharing the details, but just saying as simple as, hey, we're working on our marriage right now. We're trying to intentionalize that. I feel like that walking in the light's a huge boost.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait till something's broken to try to fix it. I mean, you change the oil in your car while it's still running. You don't wait till the car breaks down to go try to fix it.
Well, you guys have been so good to share kind of what you're in the middle of working on. And we said one of the things that we see so clearly shining through in your marriage is your strong friendship. And then you kind of affirmed that, like, yeah, we realized that in our evaluation, it's one of our strengths. So I'd like you to be able to talk about something that you're really crushing, okay? Gray and Randy, you have such a beautiful friendship. People can see it. They see you like laughing in your workout videos and doing funny jokes and stuff. So
are Gray's jokes funny? Did that happen?
I mean,
did that change?
He cracks up so much that it makes
funny to Gray.
Right.
Yeah, she thinks they're funny and that's why we're such good friends.
That's all that matters. Yeah.
I don't have many friends, but I do have one.
So how have you developed this friendship and how do you keep it going?
Man, this is a great question, because we were even just laughing, like talking about our friendship. And it's like, do we have any like nuggets of like advice? We're like, how are we such good friends? Because we really just laugh, we have fun, we play jokes. But then when we start thinking about it, I think all of that, it's a heart desire. It's a commitment. It's just that we are committed to one another. And like, that means we're going to be friends and we're just going to have fun and we're going to enjoy this life that we do together. I don't know if I have any like, hey, this is how you can really be friends with someone, because then it's kind of like you take two people and you put them together like, hey, here are all the tips that you need to be a good friend. And that doesn't mean that they're going to be best friends. So It just takes a commitment to say, I like this person. I like to be around them and they make me smile and we have fun together. And then to reciprocate that, to get practical things that we do well. I think we love to just serve each other in small ways, looking for small ways to serve one another. It can be really silly to like try to outdo one another in service. I mean, Brandy leads workouts and she leaves early in the morning sometimes. So one of the things I love to do is just like set my alarm clock before she leaves to get up and make sure I carry everything out to the car for her. Not because I have to. I mean, she's really strong. She could carry everything out there, but I just want her to know that I like that she does the workouts and I want to be a part of it. And since I don't go, because it's for all ladies, I get to do that. another thing that we do is just, we talk all the time. We just talk about things, even not just, you know, the big things in life, but we just talk constantly. She comes home from a workout and I'm like, well, who was there? And like, how was the workout? How did you guys do? What did you teach about? Just always talking. World we live in today makes that super easy with phone calls and text messages. And even if I know she's in a meeting, I can do a little Marco Polo video and she can get it later. You know, you can use emojis that are kind of like code words where you don't have to write a whole sentence, but you just send like a special smiley face that you use all the time and she knows what that means. And so just all those little things.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest ones that can seem like, oh, of course, but I think a lot of marriages can take it for granted is talking and talking about what you're doing in your work. So sometimes our work is really different. And as you guys especially know, Gray and I are so different from each other. Mm-hmm. Our interests are very different. And even like what we love to do or work, it's very different. And so one of the things that we see and learn that's important is to share each other's interests. And so that's intimacy. You know, he does logistics and different spreadsheets and different things. That is not me, but I want to ask him about that. I want him to share his work, what he loves, what he spends his time on, even if it's not like, oh, this is my favorite thing I did, but how is he spending his time? I want him to share that with me. It can be a slippery slope. What if he works with another lady? She loves spreadsheets. They're in meetings. Like that's where you protect your marriage. And so you don't just talk about, oh, well, we both like this. So we talk about this, or this is the only thing we have in common. So this is all we talk about. Or what a lot of people might do in marriages, or get to a point, you just talk about your kids. Yeah. So it's not that, but even talk about what do you spend your time on? What do you like? What are you interested in? Even if it's not my interest, it's not how I spend my time. And I think that's especially important. You know, some people, especially coworkers, might be doing work together, but especially if you have very different roles, or if one of you is in a support role and the other is not, you should just talk and share about what you're doing.
Yeah, that's good.
We're not afraid of conflict. We don't always agree on everything, but we don't see that as a problem. Like when two people are friends, they might have different ideas. They may want to do different things, but that doesn't mean it's a conflict. And one of the sayings that we usually will say to one another when we're starting to feel tension is we'll just look at each other like, hey, we're on the same team. Yeah. And that just helps us to be grounded to say, yeah, we have different ideas, but we're on the same team. Like we have the same goal. And the goal is our friendship. The goal is intimacy with one another. The goal is to grow stronger and more like the Lord.
And that can especially be huge in parenting. You're on the same team. So let us not get in the weeds of how we do this, that, or the other. Because a lot of times the enemy wants you to argue. And don't hear it saying we're arguing. But I do believe we were told what Greg mentioned earlier in our premarital counseling. We had this couple that kind of mentored us and poured into us. And that is what they told us. Fight it well. And so I pulled up a verse in Proverbs 19:11. And I believe this wholeheartedly. It's his glory to overlook an offense. it's good to overlook something.
Yeah.
But I think too often in the beginning of marriages, you do it a little bit too much where it's like, oh, that's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal when you keep thinking about it or when it's driving you crazy. It could be pet peeves or it could just be, I don't like when you joke about this thing in this situation. And so it's not like we're fighting and arguing, but we're communicating and we're talking it out. And I believe the more you do that, like in small ways, the less you have to do it in big ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it fosters your friendship too.
Yeah.
That's good.
I agree. So my big question is, how do you do that when you have a lot of stress in your lives? Because it's one thing to have like this fun friendship and be laughing and talking all day when you're on a marriage retreat. But when you're like having a heavy stress load, which you guys have busy, busy lives and you have travel. And we have seen when either one of us is either too busy or feeling some stress, that very clearly affects our relationship. Yeah. It decreases the laughter and lightheartedness. Mm. Unfortunately, I hate that. But it does. And it just gives less time, less margin to be sharing like, oh, how was your meeting? Mm-hmm. How was your day? Some days you barely get a moment to even have a 5-minute conversation. So how do you guys do that?
One of the biggest ways we do it is we try not to be stressed all the time. I hope that that makes sense. Life is busy and life is stressful, but there are times when we find ourselves like that a lot, and we have found ourselves like that, and we're like, something has to change.
Yeah.
And it could be that you need to go away and have a vacation. It could be like, we have taken this one thing on that we shouldn't. Yeah. Or when we are too stressed for too long of a time, it means something has to change. Mm. So that's something we talk about. Now, I think there's a good stress in our lives that come with our work. I mean, you know our work, we know your work. And so there's times when I have certain roles that I pick up and it's like, I'm not available for a while and it's stressful. And we just talk about it to where we're like, this is good work. And this is just for a season. Mm. It's okay. And that same thing that Gray said earlier, we're on the same team.
Yeah.
And we agree that this is good work. There's times when he has work or travel, different things, you guys know. And it's like, this is good work. We are on the same team. Yeah. And especially we are blessed that most of our work is like kingdom work. And we just talk it out. Yeah. We are stressed and we wish that we could have time for this conversation, but we can't. So can we remember that? Can we talk about that on Thursday or next week? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things. And even, you know, a perfect example, Drake Gray was just away for a week and he came home and we want to talk and we want to connect, but we have kids that need us and we cannot neglect them so that we can just, oh, we need to talk and connect and foster our friendship and our intimacy. We're like, this is so great, but we need to take care of them. And so we just talk out loud about it. They're a stressor in our life. They're a right stressor and they're good. And we have to do that.
I mean, I just came back yesterday and today I had a lot of work that was just sitting in my inbox and Brandy's in the room and she's like folding clothes or doing something. And she's just chit-chatting because we haven't seen each other and telling me this, that, and the other. And I looked at her and I was like, babe, I got to tell you to pause and put a pin in this and we'll come back to it. I was like, we're going to ride in the car to the soccer game today. We can talk about it then, but I've got all this email right now. And instead of her being mad and frustrated or getting jealous that, oh, you've got work to do, you've been gone all week and now you got more work. It's just like, no, you know what? You do have a job and this isn't the right time, but there is a good time and we'll find that time.
And I laughed and it really was funny. And here's the other thing I want to say. We try to have thick skin with that and we talk it out. Because there have been times, especially I can think of a few times, he had a little office in a corner in South Asia and I would go around and I would go to tell him something and I'm like pouring out my heart and I'm like, you need to listen to me. Mm. And he shuts his computer and he turns around and he listens to me. Yeah. So there are times where it is stressful, but it's like, no, I'm telling you my pain in my heart right now and I just need to be heard.
Yeah.
Usually it's like 5 minutes.
Yeah. And that's you good. Have the security in your relationship to not get offended and to not get bitter. Gray's putting his work before me. He needs to stop and listen to me every single time. So I think that's part of it too, is assuming the best and knowing the commitment you have.
She also knows that I'm committed to my family before I'm committed to my work. And I show that because I put very clear boundaries on my work that I don't, when I'm home and it's off hours, I don't just go check my email or grab my phone and check my email or check my messages. Like, I'm very clear. And on the weekends, you know, we have a Sabbath day. I don't work unless it's an emergency. Mm. And if it's an emergency, then she understands, like, this is a big deal and he's going to go. Yeah. So it's not like she feels a jealousy or a threat from my job because she knows the boundaries that I have on that.
That's good, man. Well, guys, this has been awesome just to hear from you all. I mean, one of the reasons we asked you guys is because we have just looked to you all as examples in this for a long time, even working closely together on the field, going through a lot of these stresses that we're talking about that you all know come maybe even more acutely sometimes on the field, but just seeing how you guys have walked through that, maintained that friendship. Brandy, how you have continued to put up with Gray so well over the years, man, just such an example to us. But for real, we really appreciate the time. Yep. Love you guys. Appreciate you just sharing that with us and with other people that are listening as well.
And I want our listeners to all know about your Fitness to the Field, Brandy. Can you give us website details and a little bit about that?
It's actually brandygainer.com/ fitness for the field, but it has little hyphens, fitness-for-the-field. I love and am very passionate to see coworkers, all coworkers, healthy where they're serving. And I believe that physical fitness and wellness is a component of that. I wouldn't say it's the most important. I do say it's very important. And so that's a free ministry that is for all coworkers.
And it's super encouraging and it's very accessible, even if you just want to grab some free workouts to be able to do and to do with some encouragement along the way. So we definitely recommend that and love the work that you've been doing in that, and I've loved just watching you and cheering for you. It's just been awesome.
And if any women want to strengthen their marriage and grab their husband and pull them in, there's a couple workouts we do together. And
that's right.
There
you go. Yes.
There you go.
Not a couple. We have about 15 or so.
Man, if you want an easy workout, just watch me and follow along. You know.
Well, thank you guys. And we'll also be sharing in the show notes some recommendations that Gray and Brandy will share for some other resources. I know this will be a blessing to many, many listeners.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.